Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. We have another web address, paulsevangel.com. Go there. You can get copies of the programs you're listening to for free. You can also get copies of the Concordant version of the New Testament and the Concordant commentary in the New Testament, the two greatest Bible study tools available to mankind, as far as I'm concerned. If you want to help support the program to keep this on the air in your town, you can do it through our website or send help to Cross and Throne Ministries at P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois 60073. And we only ask you to help if you really believe in this message. If not, just sit back and enjoy, and hopefully you come to the realization of the truth. Now, my guest today is Martin Zender once again, and we have been discussing Martin's book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, and we've been talking the last few days here regarding the signs of a cult. Martin,
is it,
welcome
is it
today.
Thank you. Is it possible that the Christian religion could be a cult? We're talking about the religion that became an entity in the days of Constantine in the 4th century. Jesus Christ himself, if he came back today, would not become a member of this church. His name's on it only. When you hear Christianity, think of an institution. The real church is a living, vital entity that that thrives apart from walls and buildings.
All right, well, let's look at number 11 on your list here, love bombing. One of the signs of a cult, according to Bob Larson, number 11, love bombing. Physical affection and constant contrived attention can give a false sense of camaraderie.
Man, they'll do anything to get you into the we love you. They'll come to your house. I remember my wife and I, when we were first married, these church members came to our house, and they wanted us to welcome to the neighborhood. Oh, you can be a part of our family, and we can meet your every need. And we went to the church one day, and we left, and for some reason, they didn't care for us so much after that. They'll bomb you with love to try to get you into the institution. They will feed you, clothe you. They go out, and they're going to love you to death just to get you in the door. And it's a constant show of affection, but it's false. It's false at its core because it depends on you joining their particular club.
Yes. Number 15, Pavlovian control. Behavior modification by altering reward and punishment leads to confusion and dependency.
The only way you can be truly happy is if you attend church. And if you do right, God will bless you. If you do wrong, God will curse you. Pavlovian control, that comes from that guy who had that Pavlov, his dog, and he would bait it and made it salivate when it heard the bell ringing.
Yeah.
When you heard the bell ringing, you started to water at the mouth because he was going to get a piece of meat.
Yeah.
You see, and if you come to church, you'll get the meat. If you jump through this hoop, then God will bless you. It's not a God of grace in the institution, in that cult. It's a God that rewards you for certain behaviors. And this is not part of what we do at all.
Well,
we do not fit that qualification.
Well, here's another one. Number 16, peer pressure. By exploiting one's desire for acceptance, doubts about cult practices can be overcome by offering a sense of belonging to an affirming community.
I'll never forget a church that I saw says, "We want our church to be your home." I don't want people at my home. I don't fit this definition of a cult. It's like I'm a guy who gives the truth and runs. I don't want you dependent on me. I'm going to teach you to fish. And Dan, you're the same way. We don't want to be your affirming community. We're going to point you to the scriptures. We're going to point you to Christ. And then we're going to get the heck out of the way. And that's what government should do, isn't it? But government, we find so many parallels between government today and the institution. They want you. They can be your everything. If you just give up control to the government, we're going to take care of your every need. If you just join this church, we're going to provide the love you need and the food and the fellowship. And our institution is going to be your everything. Holy smokes, that's a cult.
That is. That is it. Well, let's continue here. I'd like to keep commenting, but we're kind of skipping a few, or else this is going to be our last day together, so we have to get through a few other of these. First, number 18, unquestioning submission. What's another sign of a cult? Unquestioning submission. Acceptance of cult practices is achieved by discouraging any questions or natural curiosity that may challenge what the leaders propagate.
I know this one. Yeah, gee, how, like you said, how can Bob Larson write this? and not look in the mirror and see that you accept, you believe what we say or else.
Yes.
It also goes back to point one, veiled threats to your eternal well-being unless you toe the line.
I'll never forget, I was at a Theonomist church, and they had a doctrinal statement that was about 900 pages long, and when you'd ask the elders about it, you know, what is the term eternal son? What does the term begotten, not made mean?
Yeah.
It was speaking of Jesus Christ. He's begotten, not made. It was for this whole Calvinistic nonsense. Calvin had a man burned at the stake for not believing this. But begotten, not made. And the elders just looked at me with a blank stare. I don't know.
And how many pages was this doctrinal statement? Huge. Like 900 pages?
Oh, there were hundreds of lines on it. It was a joke.
Isn't it something, though? Once again, we're seeing a similarity to government. Today, what's the issue? All these bills are being passed, these thousands of pages, and nobody knows what they say. They're just signing on to it without knowing what it says. Yeah. And Christianity, this is cult-like.
Yeah.
It's dependence on an institution. And a government, and you know, and I saw the United States flag lining a church. Church and state are becoming one today. And it's a large institution. It's a huge cult, and it's very scary, folks. Run for the hills, because that's where our Lord is.
And finally, last but not least, number 19 on page 173 of Martin's book. He's quoting Bob Larson's 19 signs or characteristics of a cult. Number 19, value rejection. As the recruit becomes more integrated into the cult, he is encouraged to denounce the values and beliefs of his former life.
This really ties into what we talked about before, that a person's concept of love. A child understands God better than someone who has been indoctrinated into the Christian religion. God is love. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners, to take away the sins of the world, and he's an able savior, so naturally he would have done it. A child can believe that, but this is totally altered. This value you have is rejected once you cross the line into the institution. Well, no, Jesus tried to save humanity, but mankind has proven too stubborn. People's free wills are stronger than the will of God, and therefore Christ is not going to get what he came to get, and most of the world is going to end up in evil and turmoil, and that is value rejection. That is the sign of a cult. And again, a child would say, yes, God's in control. God is doing everything. Childlike belief, true value, God-given belief. Then you cross the line in the institution, and the recruit becomes more integrated in the cult, encouraged to denounce these values. Now, all of a sudden, God can't control everything because man is more powerful. God's not in control. Another value rejection. The idea of love. What's your concept of love? A father taking care of a child. That is rejected when you cross into the Christian cult because God is now a vindictive God who is going to eternally torment most of his creation because his son was an unsuccessful savior. Talk about value rejection.
Yeah, the book is called How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, 7 Good Reasons to Escape the Box. And I want to close your book here. We're not quite done yet, but I want to read your last, how you end your book.
Okay.
It says here, I still study scripture on my own as I have done for 22 years. I still go to church. I still don't go to church. That was a slip.
That was a bad slip.
I still don't go to church. I meet with friends in homes, in parking lots, or under evergreen trees, wherever God deems fit. I teach my children about God on Saturday mornings while we drink orange juice on the sofa. Every other Friday night, I go to a Bible study in Indianapolis at the home of some people I know. Sometimes I teach there. Sometimes I go to listen to someone else teach. This is a beautiful thing because of how freelance it is. There's no set agenda here or no real schedule. Everything just goes like it's supposed to go. Different people come all the time. We talk about anything and everything. No subject is taboo. No one says, oh, we shouldn't talk about that. Or that's ridiculous and embarrassing question, Carol. No, everything is honest and open, and it flows like a river where everyone gets splashed. Joe is the host of the study and buys pizza. People offer to pay him, but he says that buying pizza for us is his ministry. Okay by me. There's good coffee at this study. I think there's a verse that says you have to drink coffee at Bible studies. I'm still searching my Young's Analytical Concordance for Maxwell House. This could be the best Bible study ever. There is knowledge and understanding here. 4 of the most spiritual words I have ever heard are, oh, I get it. A lot of that goes on in this place every other Friday night. We've never been on television, in case you haven't deduced that. So that's what I am doing now. and of course I'm still writing. I think to go where there are seeking and open-minded people. I like to go where there are seeking open-minded people. I gather with new folks whenever God gives the opportunity. Sometimes I don't even know exactly where I'll end up on a given day or what I'm going to write about. God orchestrates everything in the manner of a choreographer. I'm not having a good time pronouncing today. I'm in a ballet where all the people are dancing, and that's how you end your book. And see, so the idea of that when you quit church, without you're not quitting God, because you can find Christ in you. Actually, that's where you find Christ, is outside the institution. And now your meetings are spontaneous. It's not something that you have to be there or else. You meet with people, and it's funny. Everyone's got an open Bible. You know, Martin and I, we meet with fellow believers. We're all there with open scriptures. We're there discussing. We're talking about God. We're learning about God.
Everyone makes a contribution.
And this is obviously something you don't have to go to seminary to do.
Jesus stilled a storm on a boat, Matthew chapter 8. Jesus healed the sick and the multitudes. He fed the people loaves and fishes on a hillside. He declared himself to be the Messiah at a well. Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead at home. Peter raised a woman named Dorcas from the dead at home. A Roman jailer and his family received Christ through the teaching of Paul at home. Mary, the sister of Martha, sits at the feet of Jesus at home. A woman named Lydia and her friends receive Paul's teachings beside a river. Jesus gives his soul for the sins of the world outside the gates of Jerusalem.
Amazing. No buildings, no steeples that are dedicated to specific worship. And this is how it is today. You will find that you can have Christ without the institution. And that's a liberating thing.
Yes, Christ is thriving today as he was back then, thriving outside. Folks, if your spirit has responded to things we're saying, it's the Spirit of God working in you. We are just messengers. We're messenger boys. We're leading you to the scriptures. We're showing you how it was in the day of our Lord. You all know how it was then. It was freelance worship. The institution crucified Christ. Can you believe that? Unimaginable. It's the same way today.
And don't use your children as an excuse,
right,
to follow false doctrine and a false practice. Do not use your children. Don't subject your children to this.
You are responsible. You have the God-given responsibility to lead your children to the light. God gave your children to you, not to the institution.
This is Dan Sheridan with Martin Zender today. The book, again, is How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. Where can they get it, Martin?
You go to my website, martinzender.com. I have other books there, and I have some free stuff, lots of free things to read, lots of free things to listen to. I invite you to come on in.
And you can also go to crossandthrone.com, listen to these programs for free. We have available at our website also the Concordant Version, the Concordant Literal New Testament. Well, Martin, it's been fun, but we're going to be together again in September. We hope everyone comes joins us up here in Chicago, right?
I'd like to meet folks. Come on up to Chicago.
September 18th through the 20th. Go to our website, go to crossandthrone.com for more information, or you can call us at 847-312-4676. Again, it's September 18th through the 20th, and we really hope to see you there. Our mailing address, if you want to help out, we're Cross and Throne Ministries, P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. Martin?
Believe in God, no matter what the clergy tell you. Thanks for listening.